I call to order the Committee for Citizen Involvement on January 30th at 5:48. For the record, let's go ahead and go around and introduce ourselves. My name is Emily Smith, representing the business community.
Rama, a citizen member.
Russ Axrod, mayor.
Jennifer Arnold, staff.
Ken Pryor, member at large.
Gary Wolvatny, planning commission.
Perfect. So first thing on the agenda is approval of the December 19th, January 9th, and January 23rd meeting notes.
I don't know how people feel, but I would move to approve at least the January 9th, or December 19th and January 9th. I haven't gotten to the other, and I wasn't at that meeting, so I don't know if we want to take the time to read the other one, too, or do you want to wait, or remembers, or
that's only two of the four of us are here from.
Mm-hmm. I'm following through the 23rd meeting.
So in the January 23rd, it says that there was going to be, after discussion of the December 19, action on meeting notes was deferred until the next meeting to allow for a review of the tape on a few items. Who's going to do that?
I think John Boyd was going to do that.
So Bob had an issue with, what was the phrase? There was something in the minutes that Bob didn't quite remember saying that way, and so we were having John review the tape just kind of for some context around that we could add to clarify.
And since he's not here, I guess I would move that maybe we wait on approval until, since it goes all the way back to then, and maybe we just wait. And let's make sure and everyone review them otherwise by the next meeting. What do you think?
Yeah. Sure.
Does it seem reasonable? I don't want to preempt something that was set aside to check the tape, so if they want to do that, let's make sure they get a chance. Do we need to vote on that? I don't know. Just defer on the matter?
That's fine.
Maybe you want to take a vote on concurrence to defer?
Sure. So let's go ahead. Do we need a motion on the table for that?
I would move that we wait until the next meeting to give everyone a chance to review the tape and address any specific changes they were thinking about since they're not present tonight, and that we postpone approval of the meeting minutes till the next meeting.
And just to point it in for clarity on that, that's just for the December 19th minutes or all of them?
Good question. Maybe it's just the December 19th. That's all that's referenced in the January 23rd.
So only two of us are here from the 23rd meeting.
Yeah, so. And I wasn't here on the December 19th, so.
Maybe December 19th is the only one that really has an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why don't I withdraw my motion, and have you guys all looked at the January 23rd? I was just partly through it. They're long.
Yeah, I know I got through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't there. If you're thinking it's reasonable.
Nothing stood out to me.
You read it too?
Mm-hmm.
And you were there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why don't we, I would move that we approve the meeting minutes for January 9 and January 23, 2018, and we postpone a decision on approving the December 19, 2017 meeting notes.
Second.
until those, that input can be received.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Right, motion passes unanimously. So next order of business is election of chair and vice chair. The last meeting, Carrie pointed out that that's something that happens, it looks like, at the beginning of every year. Or I'm not exactly sure what the protocol is on that.
I believe so. It might be in our bylaws that we vote chair and vice chair at the beginning of the year, is my recollection.
So I'm just wondering if we need to wait until...
We've got more of the members.
More people.
I would move we postpone that decision until we have more of the, a full, hopefully a full membership, so we can get input from everyone.
Right. Is there
a second? I second the motion.
Okay, motion on the table to postpone the election of chair and vice chair. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Moving right along, so next item is continued from the January 23rd, 2018 meeting, planning process, continuation of problem identification and topic review. So the last meeting, I believe we were supposed to go over the document that we have in front of us and kind of agreed to bring forward any changes that we had. So I don't know if everyone's had a chance to review it in their own time. Personal time. Yes.
I have not yet, but I did talk to Councillor Martin about sort of the overall plan. I understood that he had volunteered me to do some editing. So, but that it seemed, from my understanding of the discussion, that perhaps the most important thing right now is that we make sure that we're not missing anything critical from our review process. Not so much worrying about how it's worded and all right now, but were there any process pieces through our review of the whole planning process and all the things we identified, have we captured them at least in the document? I don't know the answer to that because I apologize I haven't gotten through it all, but I don't know if you have all. That could be the firm scope of work for everybody for the next week is to make sure, go back, review your notes, and just, you know, come back with a list. We could review pieces of this today if we want, but to make sure that we can come back and I could start probably editing later this week. And see if I have any from my own list too. The goal here would be to get a draft document to council, I think by the end of February, so we could address it at our March meeting was kind of still our goal.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a real tight, you know, extremely well-written draft, just organized to the extent. There was the figure that John Boyd prepared, which would be good for just the background. We don't have to have, you know, we don't have to work on complex flowcharts for this document itself, but later down the road we might prepare some or find the best way to do that. We discussed that kind of at the meeting before last. So that would be my suggestion, that we could entertain if people have comments that things that they have identified that might be missing, or they will for sure in the next several days, you know, review it with that in mind. That was the kind of the essence of what I got from Bob from our discussion, because he was at the meeting and I couldn't be. So. Throw it back out for you guys. You guys were, who all was at the last, was that the 23rd? Two of you were there.
Yeah.
You were, Gary, you were there?
Yes.
Okay, two of you.
So, Russ, do you think a good approach would be all of us sending our edits to you directly to kind of incorporate into one document? Okay.
Yeah, so my understanding is we now have a Word file, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This Word file. So if you have anything you see specifically you want to get to us on, yes, that maybe that is the best thing to do.
Is there kind of a timeline
for that? Let's see.
Do we need to send those through John?
Public record.
John can distribute it. Maybe we get them to John by a certain date. If that's not too much for him. Or the 30th. Next meeting is on the 6th. Maybe just in terms of process, the thing would be to send them to John.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could get them from John. You could, for you know, just to keep... maybe you direct it to John, and you could copy the other members.
Yeah,
so you could all see what you're. So that way, you can all see what's being done, and I get it too. And so it might help me at just feeding stuff in.
And help John too.
And then John could be the keeper of, you know, the main emails directed to him, but copied to other members.
Mm-hmm.
That seems reasonable to me.
So if we have a dedicated email list. That solves the problem you're saying. So he can, all the members of the email list will get the document, and then he will also get the document. He can be the archivist of the whole group,
yeah,
archive all the documents.
I'll check on my phone. Don't we have a CCI list?
Sure.
That you we used? Did. Is there a CCI list that you used?
I think.
Yeah, I think John's got.
Let me just see what
one says members, if I remember correctly.
I think all citizen groups have an email list.
Yeah. Okay, John Boyd, there's a, yeah, committee citizen involvement. So
if we direct.
But we won't have, we direct to him, but we don't have the individuals.
But
you'll get it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Just address it to John and use that.
You know, if we have the address of the email group, all I have to do is just type that address in the to field. And
yep.
The email list should take care of the issue of distributing them to all the members of the group. I mean, that's one advantage of having an email list is that it simplifies the whole process of sending out documents. I just send it to one address, it goes to everybody.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see.
I just wanted to know what that address is, then I can.
So Mike,
it's
question is whether or not we have to comply with public meeting law, and if we do something like that over the, are we under the same restrictions as Planning Commission or City Council?
Yeah, good question. Well, you're directing it to.
Every member of the group, so.
Right, but that means you're holding a meeting online, potentially.
Well, if we go back and forth with it, if you're just receiving information.
If you use it only for sending
just
documents.
Just for sending the document, I don't think that's
so
all
there's
we're
no
using
dialogue.
It for. Don't give any dialogue back and forth on email.
Just yeah. See attached.
Yeah. It's just sending it to John, and he'll pick it up. The email address is. IMA_CCI@westlandoregon.gov. IMA_, and is that the bottom line? _, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
CCI@westlandoregon.gov.
Good.
And address it to John. And okay. Address your note to John. Your John, here's the, if you want.
And Russ, sorry if I missed it, but did you have a suggested deadline? of when we should aim to get this sent in.
Yeah. If people could complete it, can you complete it by this weekend? Mm-hmm. If people could just do their review and feedback by this weekend, then we kind of might give me a little heads up in terms of coming into the meeting on Tuesday and where we stand. Mm-hmm. I don't know what revisions would necessarily get made. I think I just heard from Carrie. No, I'm out of town. I told them last meeting.
Maybe.
I forget.
Okay. Well, is there any further discussion on this item tonight? We still have an hour.
Well, what I was, I mean, I read this when Bob sent me this, I mean, sent this via John, and I agree that we need to have a, you know, cutout deadline, and so that, you know, come hell or high water, we just have a document that goes forward, and
That would be by the end of February.
Okay. All right. And, you know, it's the one thing I found when reading through all this and trying to get a grip on the situation is that it says what we have learned and specified 6 problem areas, and we discussed the problem, it should be problems, and identified solutions. I think it would be nice to have a little table, problems and solutions listed, so you can make sure that the rest of the document doesn't veer from that focus, and then it, all the things are listed. And it's also easy, once you have that structure in place, to agree or disagree, or add or delete. Because reading this, I don't know what the 6 problem areas are and what the,
so
I know the solutions are scattered across the document.
So what we could do is, you remember I started an actual table of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we could just bring that table back into the fold.
Here. Yeah.
Up front. Mm-hmm. Would it be kind of maybe where the problem areas are? Would that be maybe?
See, the table you have, if it is edited out to be more concise, listing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 problems, and then underneath the solution, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
But so although in some cases we don't have the solutions,
right.
We're not really working out all the solutions, but.
We would say that, you know, problem number 6 doesn't have a solution.
That's to be TBD.
Well, it's to be determined or prepared or.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the recommendation. Maybe we have a recommendation column or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think it could be even just a table with an X, you know, areas of requiring further work. And that could be education. Administration and coaching.
We had organized it around that administrative code and education.
Yeah.
Or
and I don't think the section that I wrote is in here yet, but I wasn't sure if we were.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
So we had it last week, but there's still a real short paragraph in there where I had a full page of information. So I wasn't sure if we were tacking on larger discussions at the end, or otherwise I'll just go back in and insert what I had. We made some decisions about what I wrote,
mm-hmm.
and eliminated at least one paragraph.
Okay, so they're not in here yet.
It doesn't look like it.
Okay, so we need these in here before we kind of start.
Not in this version.
Yeah.
So maybe we should revise our plans on what we're doing just on this piece then. So does John have that information from you?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is John up to, do you know? Is he?
He's just out.
Oh, he's sick, okay. Do you think he's gonna be out for a while? Any idea?
He was out yesterday and today. I'm not sure when he's coming back.
Okay.
So Gary, I think this came as a Word document, correct?
If it is
a Word document.
I can insert it.
Huh? Yeah. Go into that directly and then insert it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put suggestions in color, so color-coded, so people who read this will know who it came from. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use this Word document.
So if we do it in track changes, it'll say who.
Right.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it will make the process easier and rapid, so that we don't waste any more time.
Yeah.
We just move forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd like to start with a clean version. This already has a few strikeout underline changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Were these changes that were?
Yeah.
Not sure whose those are. Doesn't show. I guess if I look at the document, I could show all and see who they are.
I mean, the thing would be, Raz, that if everybody took the copy, the Word copy they received, and then inserted what they think are suggestions or editorial contributions, and then it will be, there will be five or six versions.
I wonder if it's worth me taking a stab at all the pieces first. And coming back to everyone, once we get your piece in.
I can do that tonight.
And put that in. I do that first.
Okay.
And then, because I'm already keyed into some of these things on the table, I could tighten up it up a little bit more. And that's the one maybe we look at a little more closely.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's do this, though. Before then, so Gary, you send me your piece. Or dump it into the file and send it to John and copy the rest of us or something like that.
Okay.
You guys all have John's email, right?
It's
his first initial last name at westlandoregon.gov. Mm-hmm. So we could still go that route. Do that. Also review it for things you think, not worry about editorial comments so much as if you see something missing. Substantive items that from your review or a recollection that seemed to be missing. Mm-hmm. We forgot this little piece of item or whatever. And just, if you can review the document for that and let me know by this weekend, if you're seeing some missing pieces or just bullet them out, whatever that you think they are.
Right.
And then I'll start with that doc, I'll start reviewing it and starting some editorial, and I'll bring whatever I can to the next meeting. And we can use that as a basis to start from.
Right.
How's that?
Fine.
Okay.
That sounds really good.
Does that sound doable?
And we have notes from last week as well. When we started going through, I could put some of that in there.
You mean to this?
To that, yeah.
A little bit.
Oh. Is that what might be showing in here in some strikeout underline?
I don't think so.
If I recall the last version, it was in color and there was some strikeout, and I think Bob said something about how that should have been accepted at that point, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, I think
a second here. I'm just going to open up the file here. It's easier to do that.
And I just checked email, and John did send a Word document, so. He did? It was on Friday.
Okay, CCI final report draft from John Friday at 6:46 p.m. So let me open that. Let's enable editing, and I'm going to just say in the review, show all markup.
There it is, way down there.
Are adjustments from Bob Martin. There's a couple of mine in there. Oh, I know what he did. I sent him my document. He compiled the other, and mine had some strikeout underlined it from a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. So I can deal with these because it's mostly from my prior document. So those probably should get incorporated. Those are things we looked at previously.
Okay.
And Martin had just a couple deleted graphical timeline flow chart. Okay. So we don't need to worry about that. But so if you would just insert, dump your stuff in, send out a file, and then everyone look at the content components, see if we're missing, make sure we're not missing anything. Yeah. And then I can start editing the version, and I'll bring something to the next meeting that we can all sort of start to give further edits to. Yeah. So that would mean then looking at the schedule, if on February 6th we do that, by February 13th, we still have 3 weeks after that to get something draft done. We're going to try and get a draft to the council on March 12th. So it would have to be done and available 10 days before, so by the end of the month, early March. That's okay, that works pretty good. So that gives us a couple weeks then to work out any other details after next week.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give some thought to one of the pieces I talked with Bob about was we want to make a recommendation for committee. There are elements, remember, there are elements of what we're going to be addressing. We're going to, the CCI is going to work on some of those pieces, like the pamphlet and some of that, and staff's going to work on other pieces, and then we're going to have a working group that we're going to form, a working group that's going to involve, it could be partial or all of the CCI, plus other community members, plus maybe a couple of developers, you know, however that's going to be made up. Give some thought to that. Okay, so maybe at the next meeting we might want to talk a little bit about that, because I think maybe at the end of our report we might make some recommendations about the working group makeup. So and the, what the recommendations are for allocating kind of who does what.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the work group is part of a recommendation, or is it already established concept in terms of work group?
The working group concept is already established in our bylaws.
Okay.
So that's not an issue. The matter
the composition.
The composition. It's more the composition. And making sure we've got all the categories of people and representation that we want working on things. Now, when it comes to code, what we're hoping to do is it's assigned code to John. Mm-hmm. So staff will prepare a draft code from all the input that's outlined in the report. And then the working group would review that code. And
mm-hmm. So will the working group be governed by, you know, the operating rules and regulations? Do they have a set of rules and regulations?
Just like any working group that's set up sort of legislatively for us. Yeah, very similar.
Okay.
I don't remember how much details in the bylaws, but we could visit the bylaws and see what's in there too.
Okay.
One of the things I noticed in the January 23rd meeting is the targeted intent or the rationale for the pre-app meeting. And we've talked about it before, but it's really kind of fundamental in that the perception is that the pre-op meeting is for the applicant primarily. And really, this whole process has not seriously been designed to engage citizens. It's an afterthought. And I think that's got to be one of the problems with this whole thing, is that it's always been kind of an afterthought, and we're trying to insert citizens, residents into that process. And I think that as much as anything as a problem area that...
We should have captured that, is it not? Because we had a lot of discussion.
We had discussion on it, but it popped out again, and I...
Okay.
So that was part of discussion last week as well.
Yeah.
And the applicant is paying for that meeting with planning with the city. Mm-hmm. And so that, in my mind, that's...
Kind of their meeting.
That's pretty much sacrosanct. I mean, if you're paying for a meeting, it's your meeting. But...
Well, citizens pay for it in their taxes.
Well, but they're paying for the fees, for the time for the people to be there at that meeting. They're paying to have their full attention and not the attention of other people who are attending. And so I'm not saying they shouldn't have some opportunity to have input. But what we talked about last week was the possibility of having two public meetings, two neighborhood meetings, one shortly after that, the pre-app meeting, mm-hmm. within a certain number of days to be determined, and then having to go through conceptual things, so if there are any issues, if there are major changes, and then having another neighborhood meeting down the road when the concept or the design is much better resolved, and then the neighborhood could see how their comments have come into play. That's a challenge, but I'm just...
If I could add to that too, we had a lot of discussion around this, and my recollection from all our notes was that we were going to be preparing a guideline sort of pamphlet for citizen engagement that's going to address that specific topic. And we discussed options that could be, for example, while it's the applicant's meeting, we could have guidelines for a community representative or a citizen representative or an NA representative to provide a list of sort of concerns or ideas that they want to share with the applicant. They could potentially give it at that meeting, express them at that point. To breach their issues initially, if there are issues initially. That was one way we discussed about how to bring those to the fruition, at least in the initial, and give the applicant an opportunity to even comment on it if they want to.
And I think the issue comes down to whether or not you've got an applicant with a concept that's already thought through and pretty well along the way, or if you've got an application that is, 6 months down the road.
And they're just putting it together.
Yeah, 180 days after the pre-app meeting.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge.
But the thing is, though, I agree with Gary when he says that if this committee, the Committee for Citizen Involvement, is looking at this whole process in terms of enhancing their participation, I think it's important that we have an open format for that pre-application process or whatever you want to call it, number one. Number two, when an applicant pays a fee, they're not paying a fee to have an exclusive meeting. They're paying a fee to meet the expenses the city incurs in processing that application. So
that's a different fee.
Right. But the thing is, though, if I don't see, a compatibility between the developer's exclusive meeting with the city or the city officials, and at the same time you want to have the citizen have a say in all the key stages of the process. If I understand you correctly, you're saying that the fee the developer pays with an application. Is that the fee you're talking about?
No, there's a fee mm-hmm. just for that meeting.
There's a fee just for the meeting.
It's $1,000 just to reimburse the city for that meeting. And then there are fees for the application review.
Right.
And my understanding is, and maybe you can clarify this as well, but my understanding is that there's an initial payment to the city, but basically city staff during their review and their and subsequent meetings with the applicant, mm-hmm. they're billing against that that initial, or against that application fee, mm-hmm. and if And if they need more money, they can go back to the applicant for additional funds. So,
but the $1,000 meeting you're talking about, let's call it $1,000 meeting. What is the $1,000 buying?
It's buying time with staff.
Staff time.
Right. And so that they can find out the...
It's kind of a flat fee, and whether it's a short one or long one, it's all, it's $1,000.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, somewhere in there, you know, it's going to equal out. And if, I mean, you really can't have it both ways. I mean, if you're inviting people to engage, you've got to allow them to be engaged. You know, it's not, again, that exclusivity just engenders distrust.
I think you have to be careful. It's not a time to sort of judge a project and get into a...
No, it's a time
I think
to
register your interests or your concerns. And I think we're going to work on guidelines how to do that effectively for the meeting. How to, if there are additional concerns of the community or a specific neighborhood to a project, it's an opportunity for them to, at their first opportunity, to voice them or have them recorded in, as part of the documentation and the record.
But if I understand Gary correctly, the $1,000 is essentially a fee for the time the city staff spend assessing the application and telling the person who's applying, you know, hey, this is right, this is wrong.
The application isn't even submitted at that point.
Uh-huh.
It's the pre-application meeting, and so they're providing information to the applicant so they know which requirements in the community development code to respond to, what they have to address. That's the majority.
And they might come with a list of items. They might have a draft memo that summarizes their approach or something like that. And if it's a developer that's used to doing stuff in the city, they may come in with something that's
And if I recall correctly from our last meeting, I think we talked about the fees the same for a small developer or a large developer.
Right.
And in addition to that, there's kind of the issue along a lot of times developers will bring in consultants and stuff like that, and so we're calling it a $1,000 fee, but ultimately ends up costing them quite a lot sometimes, and sometimes those consultants don't have the ability to speak at all.
So I get your point, but you know, you're paying a fee and you're going to go and see, you know, it's like going to see your doctor. You know, if you're paying a fee, consulting fee for the doctor, you want the doctor to deliver. In
pay
that
attention
way.
To you, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I agree. I see the point you're making, but it has to be then called completely labeled correctly, and said this is this is a meeting, so that nobody is under any illusion as to what is the nature of this meeting. And you're saying that this meeting happens, the $1,000 meeting happens even before the application. The guy has got the application. It's just basically a meeting where the developer educates himself by talking to various people in the city government. Am I right?
That's pretty much it. Jennifer, anything you want to add to that?
It's so that they know what to put on their application, what to include in their application.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, citizens are there to address concerns that they have about a project.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't happen at every pre-app.
No, I mean, some of them are really
routine stuff.
Pretty,
that's,
innocuous, but it's these others that.
I think we're on the same page. I think we're on the same page, and I think having guidelines for what the roles and responsibilities and opportunities are for everyone at that meeting. We will kind of define that.
Right, and I think it is helpful to reassure everybody involved, both the guy who's paying the $1,000 and the citizens whom we are supposed to represent in this committee. It will be very helpful if what the $1,000 meeting is all about, you know, what happens. And it's important to describe that in simple English, and so that everybody understands.
And maybe that's something that requires education, in the sense of that testimony pamphlet for public meetings, and to have a trifolder or whatever, something simple like that, so that people know what to expect in a pre-application meeting if there's you know, this, these are the things that we have to get through at the end of the meeting. Then if there are, if members of the public are there and they want to comment or ask questions, then provide time for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Outside the $1,000 meeting time, in the same meeting, but after the $1,000 worth of time has been spent, right?
Is there a limit on the amount of time for the pre-app?
They're one-hour meetings.
One-hour meetings, okay.
Yeah, so...
Which isn't a lot of time.
All right, so the guy pays $1,000, he gets his 1 hour. And at the end, you can have a structure where the citizens can either say something or remain quiet, whatever. I think in that way, you know, you meet both the goals. The guy who paid the money gets his time, and the citizen who listens to this get their comment in. Put in a structure like that.
Well, it'll be for the group to figure out, or maybe for the CCI to sit down and figure out, yeah, whatever form that takes, I guess we'll work on it later. I don't know. It could be, I could see that, you know, there could be some things that come up during the meeting that raise concern, you'd want to have identity. So, you know, if it's possible to have a 5-minute opportunity for the community or the public, if present, to express or ask questions.
Right.
That could be maybe one option, right, as well as having the opportunity to give a submittal.
Sure.
It might be an opportunity to give a submittal, a concise submittal of whatever points or concerns or interests. Some of it could just be, hey, this is our neighborhood. These are the things we really value. Mm-hmm. We welcome you to please review our neighborhood plan, and here's, you know, the 5 most important things that we see that come up against your project that we're going to want to see addressed. It could be,
absolutely,
you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, we're back to this thing with neighborhood plans, whether or not an NA has a neighborhood plan.
Some do, some don't.
Some do, some don't. But,
yeah, but I
some
think
of those things should be available to the applicant beforehand.
Yeah. We have that in our list of stuff. Yeah. I mean, potential things.
But I think what your point illustrates to me is the very clear need for defining and explaining in clearest possible terms these things. You know, once it's been done.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's that mindset that I have concerns with, because I've worked with planners on different sides of things, not necessarily in real estate, but planners plan, that's what they do. And they have tunnel vision and they want to get through that stuff. And this is not that kind of process, ideally. And part of that $1,000, in my feeling, should be, you know, maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's 10 minutes, is getting feedback from neighbors who are going to be affected. So, and it should be valuable, because so some of those concerns can be dismissed right offhand or whatever. And I think there's a lot to be gained in terms of rapport in that 10 minutes, and it doesn't hurt to have a guideline and say, okay, you want to do it this way, and it's, you know, but still, it's part of the process that, you know, we're incorporating it now, and it's not, before, it really was kind of an afterthought, and I think it should be formalized that it's really part of that $1,000.
And I think you're right that it has been an afterthought. I mean, I don't know the history of how this may have evolved, but I can tell you that I've had basically pre-application meetings with the City of Portland staff with BDS, and it was just us sitting around the table with them talking about a stormwater system. Mm-hmm. And there was no public involvement.
Often won't be.
Oh, I agree. But I think...
But your point is, as a philosophical point, if you're sitting here...
If we're talking citizen engagement,
right,
you've got to walk the walk, you know, really. And some of these technical issues that you're talking about is, you know, I can give you examples where public was excluded from discussions, and it was an absolute disaster.
We've seen those.
Okay. And so, you know, just because it happens doesn't make it right.
I think, you know, if they're going to pay for an hour, I think they get the hour. If there's an additional follow-up by the citizen, that's after the hour. And if there's 10 minutes after the meeting or whatever it is, 5 or 10, whatever it is, to express there, make observations or offer comments.
Right.
It's hopefully done in a productive, respectful
yeah.
way, and they can give a submittal
okay,
or
well,
something like that.
Define it then as that it's the pre-app meeting that's an hour, 10 minutes long, and that last 10 minutes.
Is
yeah.
if it's needed for the public
if they,
feedback or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. If the meeting is structured in that way, the man who paid the money gets his time,
he
and then at the end of the time, at the end of it, you allocate, like in Arrest is saying, you allocate 15 minutes or whatever for the citizen input, like you were saying, could be written, it could be verbal, it could be...
both.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very good point in terms of if you are reviewing the process from a citizen's point of view, and every stage we have to ask that hard question.
Yeah, you've kind of got to, you know, you want to demystify the process. Is you know, it's been sort of this...
Well, that's why we talked about one of the solutions there is to develop a pamphlet with some basic guidelines so everyone be real clear, and here's a pre-app, and here's what happens at the pre-app, and it lists this out, and it identifies citizen opportunity for comment and feedback at the end. Simple, I think, pretty simple.
I mean, there are two items where that's, one is incorporating a structural element that incorporates that idea, and the other is to produce pamphlets and information and documents that actually highlights that structural change.
Yeah, I mean, the
process change.
The applicant should definitely get his money's worth.
Yeah.
But in that process, part of that process should be, okay, there's 10, 15 minutes where citizens know that, hey, we're going to be able to ask questions, and, you know, that's part of the whole meeting. So,
and that's actually probably a whole lot easier to schedule than having two neighborhood meetings. But if two neighborhood meetings are necessary for a project, I think they should be held.
I think two neighborhood meetings are a good idea. The things I am most concerned about is that, you know, the process is so opaque, and it's really kind of arcane. I mean, unless you're immersed in it on a regular basis, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't sink in. And I think you have to go the extra mile to get people's involvement and their buy-in.
See, I think there was one neighborhood association person came with that very same...
And David Baker came, and he
had
good experience.
I'm just trying to
meetings.
Locate, that was on the November 7th meeting, and he expressed the same concern.
Yeah.
One meeting may not be sufficient.
Well, and they changed
yeah.
a lot of their application, too, so when when you have changes like that, too,
yeah.
you need to go back and reconnect with the community. I mean,
yeah.
we talked about that, too,
yeah.
so...
No, it's a big... I mean, it really touches on a lot of different aspects of city government that we're talking about in terms of potential code changes, and then there's, you know, there's just documentation and that really hasn't processed, that has been kind of, you know, freewheeling, and maybe you guys take it for granted, but again, the average citizen doesn't have a clue. And they're...
My ears are ringing.
Oh.
Hello. If you might, I have a public comment. I wasn't intending to speak tonight.
She's in charge.
Okay.
Well, okay, is there any further discussion on that item?
I think we pretty much nixed that.
Yeah.
We know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So I would like to apologize. I accidentally skipped over number 4. I'm not used to being the chair, which is public comment, which I'm kind of glad I did. If no one's opposed, I'd like to go ahead and entertain a public comment from David Baker.
Thank you. Okay. Well, it's related to the conversation regarding the pre-app. And Rosemont Summit Neighborhood Association had one pre-app meeting this year, and I was in this room. And it was a really great experience because for us as a neighborhood association, there was a lot of uncertainty with a proposed development. We didn't know what it was going to look like. We actually, there was two options that were being considered at the time. So there was, I think, 15 of us, 12, 15 of us, and staff and the applicant were sitting down there, and the screen was up, and we were able to see the project and get just a better understanding of kind of what the nature of this development was. And it was really helpful for the group. That immediately kind of had a calming effect. And then at the end, there was an opportunity for us to ask questions, and anybody that had a question in the room had an opportunity to speak. And the benefit of that for the applicant was when they came back to us from the neighborhood meeting, they were able to take that input into consideration. So it resulted in, I think, a much more productive meeting because they were able to respond to that initial wave of questions. And from a citizen engagement perspective, these things are complicated, so it's nice to have a couple of different waves of input. I think the groups talked about maybe having two meetings with the neighborhood, and this kind of is parallel with the pre-app, building in opportunities to get citizen engagement and input. And I think it's helpful for the applicant. You know, I think the goal is for the applicant to have a successful project and the neighborhood to have something that is desirable. And anyway, that was my input on the pre-app. So.
Sounds good.
I rest my case.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. And maybe, I don't know if it's formalized that in the pre-app that there's that.
No, it's not.
So maybe that's what's needed. But just for our standpoint, having that opportunity to ask some questions was really, really helpful. I think set the project on a good course for everybody involved, all stakeholders. So anyway. I'll go back out to the lobby. It's
all good. You're welcome to join us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, there's no other members of the public here, so let's go ahead and move on to member comments. Does anyone else have anything? I have a member comment. All right. So I submitted a letter earlier today, and there's three, in comparison to everything else that we talk about on the board, these are three very minor little things, but I think being the Committee for Citizen Involvement, they're important to at least think about, and so I was hoping to get the dialogue started, and if no one's opposed to it, then maybe just making these changes. And so the first one is kind of all documents produced by the CCI should use the word resident in place of citizen. So when you look at community engagement, especially from like an academic perspective, resident is kind of the more, I guess, appropriate word, because not everyone who resides in a city and provides that voice in a community and contributes is necessarily a citizen. Sometimes they have a green card, they still own property, they pay taxes, they're employed here, and they contribute, you know, just the same as everyone else. And so that's a little, people could possibly, you know, feel excluded. The second issue is citizen comments on the agenda. I guess this is one that I care quite a bit about. I think we should change to public comments. As the business representative here, if I was running a business, I wouldn't necessarily know that I could come and speak at that time, and I think all of us would probably agree it's important to have voices at the table, and people who want to come to our board should feel comfortable doing that, whether they're a citizen or a resident or a business owner or a developer. I think I'm seeing nods around the table that all
well,
of us
I think
support this.
If I could just interject, I think public comment for that piece also is in sort of keeping with our kind of standard protocol for our meeting agendas, where we identify a time for anyone from the public to give comment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't really quite understand the resident piece so much, though.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, we're trying to meet state law mm-hmm. around, the CCI is defined in state law.
As citizen.
In the planning spectrum, if you mm-hmm. will, of, so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, again, like I said, I just wanted to get the dialogue started. Just something that some people might care about, maybe they won't. Again, I think for me, changing it to public comments would make me happy tonight.
The second one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But the first one is the you know, I think the your definition of a citizen is essentially, you know, when you're explaining some people who may not be citizen, who may be owning home and paying taxes and all that,
mm-hmm.
that takes a legal approach to the use of the word citizen, right? here I see the word citizen in a much larger philosophical sense that you're a citizen, meaning that you are a citizen of a country or a citizen of a state or a much narrower geographical area. Citizen, the word citizen carries with it a lot more philosophical and historical meaning. Mm-hmm. Whereas what you're describing here is that it takes, your definition takes a more a legal route, you know, someone who is not officially a citizen, maybe a resident or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think the word citizen to me is more inviting and more respectful. Mm-hmm. And it has some historical connotations. The other thing is that the public comment should mean that anybody who lives or works here could come and comment. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, the word citizen, in other words, doesn't bar them from saying things that they may want to come and say.
Exactly.
And they can say under public comment and identify themselves as, you know, I'm a resident here or, you know, I'm a transient here or whatever.
Could be a business owner and not be a resident.
Yeah.
So you could say that, and in that way, I can certainly, accept the public comment change rather than citizen, comments. We can use public comment, like Russ is saying. That will make this more consistent with the official policies and procedures.
Our title is citizen involvement, Committee for Citizen Involvement. That ties, I think.
Absolutely, and that was something that I considered when I was drafting this as well. I studied community engagement as my minor in college, and it was something that was grilled into us is to not use the word citizen because not everybody is a citizen, and some people might have a problem with that. Now, I did go to a very, very liberal college, and I don't know if that has a piece of it, or I don't know. Like, I definitely think that people understand the intention behind the word citizen, and it is consistent with the title of the board and how that complies with state law as well.
So I just pulled up the definition of citizen because I agree with you a lot. But so the first definition is the legal side of it. The second definition is an inhabitant of a particular town or city, and then there's more beyond that. But so it's the Committee for Inhabitants Involvement.
One of the differences I see, and I completely understand from a broader social aspect, not to use citizen from in that sense.
Yeah.
But in here, with kind of geared toward the sort of the planning focus and what we're, I see the term citizen as being important in implying independence. It's sort of an independent perspective or viewpoint as separate from other elements in the planning realm, which might be other interests.
Well, I mean, it's citizen versus government.
Versus anything else, whatever it is. There's all these other labels.
Yeah.
But the citizen component is that individual person's
perspective of all the rest of it.
That's how I sort of see it. More not so much in that social context of ethnic race, whatever.
No.
You know, whether you're from whatever country you are. But more in the planning context, this is the independent voice. This is the singular person that doesn't have much of another voice and other things. And this is
this is apart from government.
That's kind of how I see it in this context. So
I
agree with you socially.
Yeah.
But
I think it's being hijacked by the legal profession. This word that had more historical and philosophical meaning, if you talk about if you look at the history of the French Revolution, the word citizen, then in the European context, the word citizen, again carries a lot more philosophical and more emotional, meaning, connotation, but in the
probably 19th or 20th century, the legal profession hijacked that term, and that becomes all loaded. So.
So could I make maybe a motion? Because I would like maybe to hear from the other members, not to make a decision tonight.
Sure.
But maybe what if we could shelve this to the next meeting and see if we've got maybe the full term and we could finish discussion and conclude and make a vote on your suggestion.
Yeah, and then
how does that sound for everybody?
That's great. Sorry, there's a motion on the table. There is kind of just a third little component that's far less formal than the rest of it. It's underlined in the little paragraph below. And all of that is saying, it's kind of in relation to the public comment piece, is this past year, our board saw a little bit of confusion from some community members about how you get appointed to the board. Like, we've seen some issues with, like, meeting protocol, who talks, who doesn't talk, when people talk, things like that. And I think just to avoid potential confusion, frequently whoever's chairing will just look at the agenda and say, okay, well, there's no citizens present. And I personally just don't like how that sounds, because we're a whole board of Westland citizens or residents or whatever you want to say. And so
I have to make that point with one of our council members all the time. Excuse me.
And so that wasn't anything that I felt like we needed to make an official, you know, move on or anything like that, but just something to be mindful of is kind of the perception of that.
Very good.
So would it make more sense to say there are no members of the public present?
Yeah, I kind of awkwardly stumbled over that tonight. Like, there's no other members of the public present or something.
Or you just say members of the public. That's how we refer to them, public comment, members of the public. Maybe that would parallel. That would help in that regard, address that.
Yeah.
By calling it public comment, it's probably one of the reasons you're recommending.
I think public comment fits.
I think public comment is very fitting. If we had more members, I'd say we vote on it.
Sure. So Russ does have a motion on the table to
To move to wait until, did I already make it clear, I guess? Until next week.
Yeah.
I guess part of that would be, did you email this to John, too?
I just emailed it to him at, like, 3 o'clock today.
Okay, so we just make sure he distributes it to those who weren't here tonight. Mm-hmm. They don't have this hard copy.
Sure.
So then we could address it at next week's meeting.
Excellent.
Okay.
Do we need a second for that?
I'll second.
All right, well, motion on the table to postpone it until the next meeting. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, motion passes. Any additional member comments? All right, seeing that there's no additional member comments, we are adjourned at 6:51.
Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.